As the autumn nights draw in, on Radio 3, the musicians of the London Jazz Festival come out to play. BBC Radio 3 brings you exclusive coverage from one of the world's biggest jazz festivals, starting with an evening of live jazz. Jazz on 3 presents its traditional opening night jazz jamboree. And earlier, Radio 3 gets a front row seat at the festival's spectacular opening night at the Barbican. A 40-piece orchestra and a blend of stellar singing talent. A concert celebrating the jazz voice. The London Jazz Festival on BBC Radio 3.
And don't forget Jazz Library tomorrow night at midnight. Jazz pianist Gerry Allen joins Alan Chipton to choose highlights from her work. That's at midnight tomorrow night. BBC Radio 3, 90 to 93 FM on digital radio and online. It's just gone 11:15. And time now for World on 3 with Marianne Kennedy.
Yeah, the gaga may it's a rare bet you thought you were in Ethiopia for that first track of the night. And we were, sort of, only by way of Brittany. Badame's band Sakamnesh Zemene are a group of Breton musicians who've taken their passion for Ethiopian music to the point where they're the band on call for Ethiopian stars Mahmoud Ahmed and Alemayo Eshete. The album's called Allegena, Ethiopia, and the label is Inacor. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy and World on 3, where tonight's session is something rather special. A fiddler and a harpist who've taken their trad roots and melded them with a technical and expressive power that puts their music on a whole new level. The leader of the Shetland powerhouse Fiddler's Bid and the band's harpist and keyboard player, Chris Stout and Katrina Mackay, will be joining me later on. Right now, though, I'm going to return to that collection of recordings from right across Africa on 78 RPM. Collector Jonathan Ward has pulled together something really rather stunning, 100 tracks that, while barely scratching the surface of the material available, does open up a whole world of recorded music, from field recording to commercial hits. This one is from Tunisia and one of the great voices of Tunisian song, a man known as Sheikh El Afrit, whose career success was a real rags-to-riches story. He travelled back and forth to Paris, recording with several French labels, and amassed a catalogue of over 100 recordings himself. The song, I Love, comes from one of his last sessions in 1938, not long before his death at the age of only 42.
خليني عذاب بربز اسلغ ما تمحزنين
داخو شايب وجههم كم مش عمرو يعدي 80
داخو شايب وجههم كم مش عمرو يعدي 80
بعد تندم وتتوحش ليل ونهار يقلق فيك بعد تندم وتتوحش ليل ونهار يقلق فيك
انا الحرب عليك يا بني واش الهام ما تقطيك ليش يباني تخلي بي والله ما يصلحش بيك شعل في النار الغيرة ودموعي من عيني تسيل
هو شايب وانت صغيرة ومن جيل وانت من جيل
هو شايب وانت صغيرة ومن جيل وانت من جيل
وين خمارك وقت الطيرة آدي أم غرت بيك وين خمارك وقت الطيرة آدي هم غرت بيك
أنا الحرب عليك يا بني واش تزام ما تعطيك ايش يباني مخلي بي والله
يا لله هذا موسى ما نمشيت احنا متعاهدين
يا لله هذا موسى ما نسيت اللي احنا متعاهدين
قد الشايب مرتين
كان مرت مع في المال نعطيك قد الشايب مرتين
طوعيني يا بنت حلال وانا نجيب لك ما يرضيك طوعيني يا بنت حلال وانا نجيب لك ما يرضيك
انا الحب عليك يا بني واش تشام مقطعتيك الشيبان تخلي بي والله ما يصلحش بي
rocky, but I made it somehow. She makes the April rains go shine. I make a greasewood and wheel wine.
Lost Lovin' Gal from Callan Morrison and Eli West, a young old-time duo who are kicking up a storm over in the States with that album, The Holy Coming of the Storm. And they'll be over here in the next couple of weeks for an extensive tour, which will see them heading for the island of Lewis in the Outer Hebrides, where Callan's great-grandparents came from. Murdo Morrison, a highly respected poet from the west side of the island, and Catherine Munro from the capital city of Stornoway. There's a huge amount of interest in their visit and the Morrison clan's return. And as well as a TV documentary and various other radio sessions, they'll be coming into the studio here in London for a session for World on 3. Although I can't help thinking we should all have been up in Lewis for that one. It's always very cool when an album comes out that reminds you why something is special, and this next one would be just that. World Roots on a Sunday evening here on BBC Radio 3 has the capacity to take you just about anywhere in the world and bring you the inside track on its music and culture. And oftentimes there's a pile of wonderful music recorded that will only ever make it on air as part of the programme. Well, this double album collection goes some way to redress the balance. A Choice Cuts collection of World Roots on the Road, with some great liner notes revealing the lengths to which Lucy Duran and the team would, or sometimes had to, go to get that special recording. The album won't be released until New Year, but we can't resist giving you a sneak preview. And this track is gorgeous. Venezuelan harpist Carlos Orozco, from a very masculine harping tradition. It doesn't get much more macho than cowboys. The South American traditions of harp playing are amongst the most exuberant to be found, with a light-strung instrument and the resulting agile technique that accompanies it, letting the music fairly soar, as you'll hear with this great joropo of a mother-in-law who can't find a good thing to say about her daughter's husband.
Thank you. sé que todos dirán, así también es la mía. Yo sé que hay las suegras buenas, claro que son escogidas, de esas que quieren al yerno con amor y simpatía, pero también hay las malas, de esa calaña es la mía. Si a lo lejos me divisa, empieza a hablar tontería, allá viene ese malandro, esposo de la hija mía. Mi hija que salió tan buena, eso no se merecía, casarse con ese vago, qué mala suerte la mía. Ese condenado pichirre, por si usted no lo sabía, ese no le da a mi hija ni medio pa' la comida. Y mi pobre hija, señores, lleva palo de noche y todos los días.
We have been assured that Carlos Orozco does actually get on fine with his own mother-in-law. That comes from a rich and varied collection of live recordings acquired during the travels of Lucy Duran and the World Roots teams. The album's called World Roots on the Road, and it's released on Nascenti Records in the new year. You're listening to World on Three with me, Mary-Anne Kennedy, and our session tonight comes from a real power duo in the world of traditional music, and certainly one which would have appreciated that last track. Chris Stout grew up on Fair Isle, yes, the knitting island, but also one of a great musical heritage. And when he headed for the mainland of Shetland for school, he already had with him a grounding in Shetland fiddle music that was to stand him in good stead as part of the blossoming of the fiddle tradition that was being nurtured by the likes of Dr. Tom Anderson and seminal accompanists such as pianist Violet Tulloch and the legendary guitarist Peary Willie Johnson. From those roots emerged a band that was to become one of the great ambassadors of Shetland music, Fiddler's Bid. The addition, further down the line, of a Perthshire harpist might not have been an obvious move, but the on-stage partnership of that harpist, Katrina Mackay, and the band's leader, Chris Stout, is at the very forefront of traditional music and its connections with other musical worlds. I was delighted to meet up with him recently in Glasgow to hear them in action. And the first set they played was One from the Heart, written by Katrina Mackay for another inspirational harpist.
Thank you.
That was a gorgeous start to our session with Catriona Mackay and Chris Stout. That was Eira and Catriona, very appropriate piece to start with because we share a person in common, and that's the subject of this piece.
That's right, Marianne. We were both lucky enough to learn from the Welsh harper Eira Lynn Jones for a while in Manchester. That's the same for you, isn't it?
Absolutely. Yeah. And very much somebody who, I think because of the Welsh background, maybe didn't think that it was very strange to bring the worlds of traditional music and classical music together, which has very much been your musical path since then.
Yeah, that's right. And yeah, it was something she was really passionate about. And I always heard about you before I got there to the college. I always heard about how you'd done that mix as well. So I found that inspiring.
I'm sure that went along the lines of don't do this. But Chris, likewise for you, I mean, the leader of that fantastic band Fiddler's Bid, in which Catriona also plays, and brought up in, well, your early years in Fair Isle. But you also live in this parallel world of traditional music and more formal music.
Yeah, I suppose, yeah. And that combination has accessed me and Catriona as well to lots of other things. Just having a way into two styles has really, it's accessed other styles. Jazz has been a great thing and influential to us over the years and working with musicians from all over the world, really. So, you know, I'm nothing but thankful for the route that I took, you know, with traditional music and classical music.
Looking at the jazz influence, we heard you most recently in the album that's just come out of the live set of your Brazilian Theory,
yeah.
which is a really bonkers collaboration between European musicians and folks from São Paulo, was it?
Yeah, they're from São Paulo, yeah.
And Catriona, again, your partner in crime from that point of view. But you also both share an interest in electroacoustic music. Now, where does that spring from?
Yeah, absolutely. This was another avenue. When we were at college in Glasgow, a really great inspirational fellow called Alistair MacDonald came up to work in Glasgow. He came from Birmingham and electroacoustic composer. And we both got interested. And it was the first time this style of music had been presented to us in a really, really creative way, rather than a kind of a nerdy computer way. It was opened up to this huge world of sound that we couldn't necessarily create on our instruments, but they were available. And I think we'd both say that studying that type of music, which isn't about melody and harmony, had a huge impact in the way you think about your own music, which is very, very melodic and you know, harmony driven like traditional music is, but much more gestural, and you consider what other aspects of music are, what people listen to and what people respond to outside just tunes and chords.
Given that the pair of you coexist in this world that travels along so many different kinds of music, do you switch on and switch off? Do you compartmentalise this? Or is this just all Catriona Mackay playing a harp, whether it's a clarsach or a concert harp?
There's no doubt that everything helps, but hopefully we've kind of looked into things and they've become grounded a little so that when they come out, it's meaningful and it's not just a, you know, a passing relationship with something. Because it has been a long time, we kind of take things quite seriously, I suppose, but then have a lot of fun exploring. You know, ultimately, we want to have fun when we're playing a gig.
That subject, I mean, it's interesting. It's taken a long, long time to be comfortable with just making music, and actually sometimes putting it in compartments has been our downfall. When young, you know, as a younger musician striving to be accepted in one particular world, which are kind of set out by other people and driven by other people's ideals, then it's not always easy. So now we're at a stage where you can be confident, sit down, and you're not really considering whether you're making traditional music or classical music or whatever. Especially when you've got a long-running musical relationship with somebody else where you don't have to talk about that anymore. You just sit down and play and nothing's a problem, you know.
Catriona, the clarsach, the small Scottish harp, is a relatively simple instrument. 34 strings with little semitone levers that allow you a fairly limited range of changing pitch and changing key. But you've really
pushed the boundaries in a quite extreme way in terms of what you're able to play on this little instrument. Has being a classical harpist, a concert harpist, had an impact on how you approach this little instrument?
Yeah, for sure. Just because it introduced other things that other people wrote for classical harp, and working with composers, you have to, you know, try and interest them with different ideas for it. But I think being aware that the Scottish harp is part of the family of harps, and you've got Paraguayan harp, thinking like that, you know, lots of different types of harp really helps me. And also my work with Alistair MacDonald that Chris mentioned there, we have a wee duo of harp and live electronics. That really, really helped me extend what I hear in my ear for what I think. But for me, it's just my little relationship with the harp, and it tells me things sometimes, and I just go, oh, okay.
Tell me about Edges and what's behind this. All this music, I should say, is from the White Nights album.
It is, yeah. This we wrote all the music. This was a kind of a good therapeutic process for us to kind of come to that music that I was talking about, music that we're comfortable with. And the easiest thing to do is to write it. You know, it's a real symbol of your self-expression. You don't have to worry about what other people, history, you know, the weight of history behind other music. So we wrote all this music. And this tune was one of a few tunes which we just sat down and actually composed together. So it was a collaborative tune. A lot of the others, one or other of us bring and we arrange it. But this tune, we just sat down and started experimenting with styles and techniques. And it was much more just about... about sounds and just exciting things. And we tried to bring them all together in this tune called Edges and High Water. So.
Thank you.
Absolutely fantastic stuff. And there's more from Chris Stout and Katrina Mackay as they showcase more of the music from their White Nights album later on in tonight's World on Three with me, Marianne Kennedy. Soundway Records recently released three classic albums of Afro-rock from Johnny Hastrup, who grew up in a royal household during the final days of colonial rule, but went on to become Soul Brother number one in his home country before settling in the States, having collaborated with Ginger Baker on an Air Force tour. This is from the second album by his own band, Mono Mono. Fantastic, trippy stuff from The Dawn of Awareness. Thank you.
apretado. Pégate un vuelto por la tierra del pelao, pa' que sientas lo que sienten los que bailan apretado.
A double emigration going on in that collaboration. Belgian-based Colombian band La Chiva Cantiva, produced by a Colombian-based Englishman, Richard Blair, all looking to Latin retro roots for the inspiration to their sound on that debut album, Pelao. This is Marianne Kennedy here on World on Three. Now, where I grew up in relative isolation musically, at least where working with my peers went in traditional music, the opportunities today for young trad musicians to learn, play and experiment with their own and other cultures are many and varied, not least through the ethno music camps, which bring together young players and singers from right across Europe and beyond to exchange musical ideas and explore the possibilities for cross-cultural collaboration. Out of the ethno movement has grown this next band, Ethno in Transit, with members from Slovenia, Chile, Sweden, Estonia, Scotland and Italy. Musicians who still have a close connection with the music camps, but who have an ambition to take this particular lineup a little further on. So I suppose this is a kind of distillation of an ethno camp and their particular take on the traditional Czech Lasko.
This is a Czech song about love, about the river that goes the same way as love, but the river once stops, and that time also love stops, and that's the end.
Jacob, 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 Jac Just please, 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 please don't hate me.
In Transit was followed by the unlikeliest of bands, an Icelandic bluegrass band. And why not? They were one of the discoveries of the summer during a trip to the island's only folk festival. As well as the usual covers of bluegrass standards, Brothergrass really come to life with their close harmony arrangements in Icelandic material, both in their native language and with English language songs like that one by Sri Lankan Icelander Lalo. You're listening to Marianne Kennedy on World on 3. And next, a little late for Halloween, but worth the listen nevertheless, New York-based DJ Rupture's reimagining of The Shining, set in an abandoned hotel in Dubai, El Resplandor, complete with reworked story for the sleeve notes and permission to let your imagination run riot.
Thank you.
One more selection from the Africa at 78 RPM collection Opika Pendi, released on the Dust to Digital label. A 4-CD treasury of tracks from North, South, East and West. As the compiler Jonathan Ward explains, the coverage of the continent by 78 recording wasn't comprehensive by any means, and places like Somalia had very little representation. But that traditional song, one to encourage camels to drink, it's one of the rare exceptions. It was recorded for the French Colonial International Expo, a massive celebration of colonial rule way back in 1931. This is World on 3 on BBC Radio 3, and it's time to return to the present day and tonight's session guests, Chris Stout on fiddle and Katrina Mackay on harp. This next tune is inspired by other and rather dangerous fiddling inhabitants of the Shetland Islands. The Trows. Thank you.
Music from the White Nights album being showcased for us here in session at Glasgow's Pacific Quay. We have Katrina Mackay on Scottish harp and Chris Stout on fiddle playing for us here on World on Three. And the Trouse Jig there.
The Trouse Jig,
obviously,
yes.
Chris, you're the man to ask about the Trouse.
Well, yes, yeah, absolutely. There'll be a lot of people listening to this programme that might not know about the Trouse, but
it's the right time of night.
It's a good time, yeah, absolutely. It kind of feels like it, I have to say. The Trouse are the people, the little trolls, if you like. They're like the second cousin of the Norwegian troll, except they're much shorter, little people, really. And a lot of our tunes in Shetland are attributed to the Trouse. So they're very good fiddle players and composers, despite only having two fingers on each hand. So these tunes, they have some ability to do with two fingers what most fiddle players take four to do. So there's the Trouse.
And we're listening to music from the White Nights album, and we've talked about the different musical worlds that you inhabit, the two of you, and you have really quite an exciting project going with the music from this album, and what sounds like a huge task to take the music for two and do something else with it.
For sure, this is the biggest job we've had so far, is to arrange all this music that we composed for duo, for these two instruments, and they're getting arranged for full symphony orchestra. And we're going to go away to Canada next year, next March, and perform with Symphony Nova Scotia, three concerts with them, which we cannot wait to do. It's hugely exciting. And, you know, we've been talking about traditional music and classical music, and to get the opportunity to just take your own music from a very, very pure, you know, beginning and write it yourself and take it right through and play this music with a whole bunch of amazing classical musicians in a really huge form is like the ultimate, you know. It's such a great thing. We're hugely excited about that, aren't we?
We are.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, I know that you, Chris, certainly have worked with orchestral forces before. You wrote a work for the BBC SSO and traditional musicians, again, in which Katrina was also involved. Dynroast, is that what it was called?
Dynroast, yeah.
How difficult is it to take something that you are writing or playing intuitively as a traditional musician and transfer it in a way that then becomes intuitive for a classical musician who processes their music in a very different way?
For sure. And that's one thing that we're very passionate about, making that connection, because I think out of all these styles of music, the one that the two that we're I suppose most keen on are the two worlds that seem so far away from each other. And engaging with musicians, as you say, that work in a very different way is not easy. But I think when it comes down to it, in its raw form, people will just respond to music, and if it's written in a certain way, and if you're playing with the orchestra as well, you've no idea the amount of the come and go that happens, just because as a traditional musician you're standing there, and if you communicate as much to the orchestra as you are communicating to the audience, then they feed off that.
So you're also going to be embarking on a project with the Scottish-based composer Sally Beamish, and in this case I think you're coming at it as traditional musicians, but you're going to be given a concerto to play with string orchestra. Is it going to be a classical work? Is it going to be a traditional work? What's it going to be?
It's kind of interesting.
You're confusing us now.
We've known Sally for a lot of years now, and she's come to so many gigs, and I've taught her daughter Stephanie, who's a fantastic classic player, for quite a few years. And the idea is for her to write in the way that we've evolved with our instruments. So it's not to take that out of the equation and for her to be purely writing for the instruments, it's for her to be writing with our relationship with our instruments in mind, but then for her to write as she does.
And when are we going to be able to hear this?
That's going to be first performed in Glasgow in January at that festival that some people may have heard about, Celtic Connections. That's the initial performance. And then it's going to be performed in Edinburgh next April, the beginning of next April, at the Edinburgh International Harp Festival, which I love because there's no fiddle players there.
And it's all women.
Stop it. I can't believe you said that.
Not quite, just 90%. Well, listen, long before that, folks will be able to hear you playing at the King's Place in London on the 8th of December, which is part of a very Shetland-orientated weekend of music, because well, you'll be sharing a bill with wonderful Scottish singer Emily Smith, but I believe Boys of the Loch are also on the bill, and there's a fiddler's bin connection there as well.
Exactly, our pal Kevin Henderson plays with the Boys of the Loch, so and he plays with Fiddler's Bid, so yeah, absolutely. I think we're maybe going to stick around the whole weekend and sample a few ales, maybe.
And the Trows will be making their way down.
Yeah, everybody in London better watch out that weekend.
Well, Katrina and Chris, thank you so much for coming in.
No, it's a pleasure, thank you.
Let's have one more piece of music. Tell me about It's Flick.
It's a set of three reels. The first couple I wrote, the first one, it was a tune for Chris, and the second one was a tune, you know how it is, you don't have a name for something you make. And our good friend Olof Johansson, the Swedish nickel harper, he heard the tune, he thought it sounded quite sparkly, so he called it Isflak, which is ice flow in Swedish. Thank you.
Absolutely phenomenal stuff. Isflak from Chris Stout and Katrina Mackay. Thanks to them for a really great session and to our colleagues in Pacific Key in Glasgow for recording the session for us. Well, we're going to head to the Irish-American diaspora now and the two-row button accordion. This comes from the unshowy but very classy playing of Paddy O'Brien, who hails originally from County Offaly in the Irish Midlands, but who's now based in Minnesota. He's rightly regarded as a living archive of Irish tunes, with over 4,000 under his fingers, and a style and repertoire absorbed from older players back home. The album's called Mixing the Punch, and this is a set of reels from the legendary fiddler Sean Ryan and Sligo box player John Regan.
No meu coração brasileiro, plantei um terreiro, colhi um caminho. Armei arapuca, fui pra tocaia, fui guerrear. Meu coração brasileiro anda de lado, manca inclinado. De norte a sul, a vida é o rumo que é mais procurado. Quando é de noite, a vida silencia. Abro no peito, três olhos pro céu. Nasço da luz de que nasce o dia. Eu sigo manco, meu pé tem gabarro, minha crista tem gogo, fiz minha fé com tijolo de barro. Mas não regulo minha veia com isso. Quando é de noite, na vida eu me esguicho no vão do espaço de procurar.
o coração que for brasileiro. Faço capina, chumbo, a cravina. Quero alegria, quero alegrar. Ei, 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 ei. A febre na cuia do tempo. Quem espera a dor não viaja no vento. Ranquei a hora do chão do momento. Nasci de manhã, o sol veio olhar. Brilhou meu setembro, fiquei no lugar. Mais cedo que a vida fui trabalhar. Ei, 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 ei.
A relatively restrained but very lovely track, Straight from the Brazilian Heart, and it comes from the selection that makes up the new double album retrospective from RAS Records of Brazilian legend Milton Nascimento. The definitive collection is called Bituca, after the nickname that stuck with him from childhood. Now, a kind of intriguing combination next, an early music ensemble whose musical exploration takes them down unexpected paths, like this album, Odisseia Negra, tracing the various musical links between Africa, Europe and America that grew up out of the early era of slavery and colonisation. This is La Chimera and La Rosa.
Thank you. que comer. Por la orilla de un río y a la sombra de un laurel, me acuerdo de ti bien mío, viendo las aguas correr. Y aquel que juega cantando, mira que alegre está aquel. Pero tengo el corazón más amargo que la hiel, tan solo por el recuerdo que vivo de una mujer. Que vivo de una mujer a quien yo le di mi amor y no me supo querer. Porque allá va la josa, allá va la josa.
The early music ensemble La Chimera from their new project Odissea Negra. Now this next album is an alternative window onto the world of contemporary Arab music. A generation of musicians whose situation is very different from the golden Beirut of the 60s and 70s, when the city was something of a gateway to the Western world. But their creativity is as raw and in your face as anything that was going on before the Civil War. From Palestinian hip-hop from the refugee camps to underground indie rock, this album of new sounds from Lebanon fairly grabs you by the ears. Have a listen to this one from Prayed, playing with a wedding scene song from a well-known Arabic movie, sung by Mahmoud El Hosseini.
Go!
love it. The album Golden Beirut is released on Out Here Records. And this is where we leave you for tonight. Thanks again to Chris Stout and Katrina Mackay for a glorious session, to Neil Pemberton in the studio and producer Felix Carey as always. This last track tonight comes from the veteran Canadian folky Penny Lang from her new album on Borealis, Stone and Sand and Sea and Sky. Hers is a voice that just draws you in to listen to what she has to say. A voice that's lived life to the outer limits and survived. Good night.
You fool, you crazy fool. Look what you have done. You tore apart a wounded heart. You stole away the sun. You fool, you fool, you crazy fool. Ah, but don't sing the blues. Why hang around this empty town when there's nothing here for you? Just lay your chance on the track, start again and don't look back. No, you fool, you fool, you crazy fool. I loved to your best. Now enjoy the rest, 'cause this life is all you have. This life is all you
Welcome to BBC Radio 3 Through the Night with me, Jonathan Swain. A recent concert from Sweden to set off tonight. Jukka-Pekka Saraste conducting the Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra in the Berwald Hall in Stockholm in March 2011. Pianist Boris Giltberg is with them in 10 minutes or so for Rachmaninoff's first piano concerto. And the concert closes with Tchaikovsky's Farewell to the Symphony, to life, some have said, the Pathétique Symphony. First, though, Spring Rounds, one of Debussy's orchestral images. Its main theme is the folk song Nous n'irons plus au bois, but the woods are where much of the piece seems to be until what sounds like a dance out on the village green in the music's final moments. spring rounds. Ronde de printemps, one of Debussy's orchestral images. Jukka-Pekka Saraste conducting the Swedish Radio Symphony Orchestra. Pianist Boris Giltberg joins them now for Rachmaninoff's first piano concerto, written when he was 22-year-old student at the Moscow Conservatory, but given a thorough overhaul in 1917 in the midst of the Russian Revolution. In December that year, he was granted a visa for some concerts abroad, and Rachmaninoff left Russia with his wife and daughters, never to return.